Hello, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours, and I want to welcome you to our weekly conference call. Ever since the pandemic started in March of this year and they've locked us down, I know many of you were so frustrated that you couldn't even come to Panama. A lot of international travel was restricted, but you still had that burning desire to come and check out Panama and the dream to perhaps move to Panama. So my way of keeping you engaged with what's going on in Panama and keeping you informed is to do these weekly calls. Sometimes it's a Q&A call where I just answer your questions, and sometimes I interview somebody that's moved to Panama to give you an insight about the area that they're moving to or what their experience has been like. And that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to interview Laura, who came on a Panama relocation tour. She came on the Panama relocation tour. And then I believe it was in March of this year, her and her husband moved from Hong Kong to Panama. So Laura, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, so
glad to be here.
Yeah, so first of all, when did you move to Panama? I know that you got the very last flight out of Hong Kong before they shut down that country, and you went to the United States for a couple of weeks before you came to Panama. Was it March when you got here?
February 29th we got here.
Yeah.
So we were, I'm an American. I moved to Asia in 1978 as a Peace Corps volunteer in the Philippines, and I met my husband while I was a volunteer. He's from Hong Kong, but went to school in the U.S., and we got married, and we lived in the Philippines for about 5 years together, so I was there for 10 years altogether, and then we moved back to Hong Kong to take over the family business. So we had a small... About 10 years ago, we opened a small factory in southern China, and we were operating that. And with the trade war, our major customers moved their production out of China. So staying in Hong Kong really wasn't tenable. And we looked around Asia, but and some other places, but we eventually decided on Panama. A lot of, after looking at your website and listening to the interviews that you've done with expats and watching the videos, and then I came on the tour. We couldn't both come because we were just too busy closing down the factory and preparing everything. It was a very stressful time.
Mm-hmm.
But it ticked a lot of boxes. Our son is in New York. Now our daughter's back in Hong Kong, but at the time we were moving, we thought she would be in the U.S., so it's closer to the U.S. The health care is good and affordable. I like the idea of cooler weather. Having lived in the tropics for most of my adult life, I've had enough of hot and humid. So the sound of Boquete or Volcan sounded very good. And my husband was pretty much willing to go along with whatever I decided. So that's, and also the cost of moving here and getting a visa is significantly less than, we looked at Thailand and Malaysia. We briefly considered Malta, but Panama won out.
Yeah, it's super affordable to get a visa here compared to other countries.
Yeah.
Yeah, and fast. And it's the whole process is pretty fast to get a permanent visa compared to other countries.
Right. And you don't have
to invest
a lot.
Yeah, you don't have to invest just the cost of the visa. You don't have to invest in land
mm-hmm.
or real estate. You could, but you don't have to like you do in some countries.
Mm-hmm.
So when you first got here, we hadn't even had our first case in Panama yet. And of course, we, like every single country, was hoping we wouldn't get any cases, but it's pretty much spread all over the world. So when you first got here, was your plan to just travel around Panama and check out different more places than you saw during the tour and decide where you wanted to settle in?
Yes. So we got here on the 29th, and we had planned to stay, and we did stay in Panama City for 10 days. And we got our visas worked out. And then we rented a car, and the plan was to go down the coast and look at some beach communities, because my husband decided he wants to live at the beach. So we looked, we stayed a night at Playa Blanco, and then we stayed a couple nights at Uvarito. And when we were in Uvarito, we decided to go up to El Valle just for a day to check it out, because I'd heard you talk about it, and, you know, a lot of people liked it. One of the B&Bs we stayed at had suggested that we visit it, so we did. And when, as we drove into town, we saw a sign about 6 houses for rent, or that some places had houses for rent. So we called, and we looked at the houses just to get an idea of what you could get and what the prices would be. And then we went back to Uvarito, and we were expecting to go to Boquete the next day, or in another couple of days, we're going to drive up to Boquete and look at Volcan and maybe Cerro Punto, and then go back down through Santa Fe and then back to Panama City, return the car we had rented. And then we had a cruise planned. Our daughter had gotten her first big break. She's musical theater on a cruise ship, and we were going to take the cruise. Well, her cruise ended after a week, and when we were in Uvarito, we were hearing that Boquete was closing and putting up the sanitary fences, so we were trying to call the hotel and find out what was going on, because we'd had a hotel booked, and it just seemed too risky to drive the 6 hours to Boquete only to be turned away. So I called the woman whose houses I'd looked at in El Valle and said, can we start renting tomorrow? And she said, yes. So we went to El Valle thinking we'd be there for a month, and we ended up being there for 3.5 months.
Yeah, so what did you think about living in El Valle? Oh, it was only for 3 months, but did they have, like, grocery stores and amenities? Were any of the restaurants open at that time? So did you really get to experience it very much, some of the beautiful hiking trails and waterfalls?
We got, towards the end, we did get to do a little bit of hiking. We got to go to one restaurant, the Green Frog. It closed very quickly after we got there. It went into the, you know, you could go out for 2 hours a day. And then a few days after that, it was 2 hours for men on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and 2 hours for women on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So our experience of El Valle is really sitting in our house. Luckily, the house had some grounds around it, so we could, you know, and they had ducks and chickens, and which would, you know, come across our back porch, which I thought was very quaint in the beginning, until they started leaving a mess, and then they weren't so quaint, but it was fun. But there are, you know, there's a lot to do in El Valle, they say, but it was pretty much closed the whole time we were there. And the day we were leaving, actually, some of the police had come down with it, because we had arranged our house sitting through you. It was supposed to start in May, but as things got closed down, the woman we're house sitting for kept working on being able to get us to Sebago, and she was finally able, she thought, to arrange that in the end of June. So we were in El Valle mid-March, April, May, and in June.
Mm-hmm.
And it was closed for most of it. But there's 7 grocery stores. The only thing we couldn't get, my husband didn't like the rice. The local rice, he's, you know, he's Chinese. He's a rice snob. What can I say? So we haven't found a brand that we really like, and we couldn't get oyster sauce. And we still haven't been able to get oyster sauce. But other than that, there's a Ray's in El Valle that has pretty much all the Western food you could want, some very good bread. There's a couple of bakeries. that we didn't really get to try, but they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like a nice little community. It's a pretty town. Very pretty.
Yeah, it is a real pretty town. By the way, I can get oyster sauce here in Boquete, so I'll try to figure out how in the world I can get you some. You know, and that's the thing in Panama is you would think that certain things would be available everywhere, but there's some towns that you can get some things and other towns where, you know, you could never find it. For example, in some towns, you're never going to find organic vegetables. You're just organic lettuce, mm-hmm. organic veggies. It's just not going to be available. Other towns, it's readily available. Some towns are going to have like an Organica store where you can get gluten-free and all that imported stuff. You're going to pay the price for it, but it's there. It's available. Sometimes just having it mm-hmm. available makes people feel more comfortable. And then other towns, it's not there. So you're going to have to drive
right.
2 hours to buy it or order it from Amazon and then pay a fortune to get it shipped in. So when you're looking for a place to
right.
live, if there's certain foods that you really, really like, that's why we always, during the tour, we take people to grocery stores and we say, go check out and see what they have. And you might have a list of the things that you know you're going to use every single week and see if the grocery store in that area has it. And if not, maybe that's not the right place for you to live.
Right. Well, we were told there was oyster sauce in Penonome, but the problem was we couldn't leave El Valle because we didn't have a proper lease. We
yeah.
just started renting from this woman, and she had a couple of girls because it was also a hotel type situation, and we would pay them, and there was no formal arrangement. They were very, very nice about it.
Uh-huh.
Very generous to let us stay. And I have to give kudos to Hertz. Because we had the car, I think we'd rented it for 10 days, and we ended up having it for 3.5 months, and they just cut. We paid for the time that we used it, and the time we sat in El Valle, there was no charge, and they didn't charge us when we brought it back. So
that's great.
That was nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, in like in David and in Panama City, they have some Chinese grocery stores, which are probably going to have that rice that your husband would really like, and oyster sauce and all kinds of other things.
Well, here's the strange thing. Six out of the first strange thing is there are 7 grocery stores in El Valle, population 2,000. 6 out of those 7 are Chinese.
Uh-huh.
So we were like, you're Chinese. Why don't you have oyster sauce?
Yeah.
But
well,
you know,
yeah, they're owned by Chinese, but there's some actual, like in David, there's this great Chinese grocery store. It's called Melissa, and everything
uh-huh.
in there it's Chinese. Everything in there is from China
okay.
or Asia someplace. It's all in Chinese.
Uh-huh.
So in that
right.
kind of a Chinese grocery store, you're going to be able to find everything you're looking for, I'm sure.
Oh, that's great.
So it's good that you got to experience living there a little bit, and you're real lucky that you weren't stuck in like a condo where you couldn't really go anywhere or do anything. At least you had a property you could walk around. Whenever the pandemic
yes.
and the quarantine was super, super strict. For a while there, we could only go out 2 hours a day, 3 times a week for women and 3 times a week for men. And that lasted for a month or two. I don't even remember how long now. But now, at least where I live, I'm not sure about where you are, it's much easier now. We only have a curfew from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. And we can, you know, we have freedom to travel any other time during the day. So I remember whenever we got the information about this house-sitting opportunity and you were interested in it because you were going to come here, we knew you were going to be here, and it was going to give you a chance to check out a couple of different areas before you decided exactly where mm-hmm. you wanted to stay. So did you have very much communication with the owner of the property? Did she send you some pictures of it or... how did you decide that you wanted to accept that opportunity?
Well, We did get a chance after we got our visa. We came to Sebago for a day and met her and saw the house and saw she has the house and a beach club. And across the street from the house, she has five sort of A-frame huts that people can rent. So the idea was we would operate the huts for her. She had somebody else that would operate the restaurant. Because there's no way I'm cooking for a restaurant style for anybody. But of course, by the time we got here, that's all been shut down. So, but we did have a chance to see it. It was very brief. And we had some communication with her. And the original plan was we would overlap with her for a week so she could show us how things worked and show us around the island and introduce us to people. But in the end, Sebago is very restrictive about who can come and who can't. So she had a letter from her lawyer that was notarized, and she had somebody bring that up to us in El Valle, and we drove down into Panama City. We got the COVID test, and the next day we went to get on the ferry, and they wouldn't let us on because you have to be approved by the doctor in San Miguel, which is the main hub of the Pearl Islands, I guess. And our name wasn't on the list. So we went back into Panama City. I booked a hotel while we were sitting at the pier. We got to the hotel, and it was closed and dark, nobody at the desk. And finally somebody came down, and they said they were closed. And I said, well, can we sit here while we find a new hotel? And he said, oh, no, you can stay. You just have to delete your booking through booking.com and just pay us, and we can't give you an invoice. So we stayed in this empty hotel, and it was nice enough. It had a little kitchenette, the big room. It was clean. We asked them not to clean our room or come into our room at all for the week. We were on the 2 hours. We were within walking distance of a grocery store, and we could get takeout. So we stayed for a week, and she scrambled to get us permission, went over to San Miguel, got permission from the doctor. And the next week, our name was on the list, and we were able to get on the ferry. So normally to Sebago, there's a daily ferry, but because no tourists are allowed now, it's gone down to once a week. So we had to wait a week to try again, and we were able to get on. But then her flight out was coming up, so we came in the morning, and she took the ferry out that afternoon.
Wow.
So we had no real overlap with her on how do things work? How does the water system work? How does the, meeting? We were taking care of five dogs and originally four cats, but we seem to have picked one up. I just feed it. the cat comes in through the garage and it's there, so I'm not going to refuse to feed it.
Right. So that's a really good point, that whenever you're going to do a house sitting, it's a good idea that you get there at least a couple of days before the owner's going to leave so they can point out where different things are, how different things work, where to get groceries, how to get groceries, especially if you're going to be on an island where things are a little bit more restricted on an island. So it's unfortunate that you didn't have that overlap time. At least you got to see the house before you agreed to go ahead and do the house sitting.
Right.
So are there any grocery stores on that island, or did things have to be shipped in from Panama City?
There's a little store kind of probably has very basic things. There's she's got potatoes and eggs. There's laundry detergent, soft drinks, some canned goods, but not really a lot. So we have a company in Panama City, and we send them a WhatsApp with our list on Sunday, and they go pick everything up and put it on the ferry, and we pick it up from the ferry on Wednesday morning. And sometimes we get what's on the list, and sometimes we don't. So you make up a list, and then you get what you get.
Yeah.
And you'd be happy with it.
Now, what are the restrictions? I know in different parts of Panama, the restrictions are a little bit different. We only have the curfew from 7 to 5. Do you have a curfew, or are you still under a some kind of a quarantine where it's only 2 hours a day? I think they've lifted haven't they?
They've lifted that. So, and I think just today we can go out on Saturday. For a while, it was Saturday and Sunday. You couldn't go out, but you could go out all day between, I think it's 5 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been that way since we got here. Although the first 2 weeks we were here, we had to quarantine in the house. We weren't allowed to go out. And they were very strict about that, because the first Wednesday, after we'd been here a week, we had placed an order, and we went down to the ferry to pick up the order, and we had everybody wears a mask, and the police were at the ferry, and they didn't say anything to us. We got our order, and we went home, but the next morning, there were two policemen and an older gentleman at the door, sort of saying, "You are under quarantine, and you should not have gone out yesterday." And I said, "Well, we had to get groceries," and he said, "You should have had a friend pick them up." I said, "Well, we don't have any friends."
Mm-hmm.
And he was very, they were very nice about it. They weren't, angry or anything. They were just telling us, and he gave us his telephone number and said, "If you need anything, you call me." So I thought that was very nice. And then one of the policemen was trying to learn Mandarin, so he talked to Tony for a few minutes.
There you go.
Not saying a lot. His Mandarin is about as good as Tony's Spanish, so it was a pretty quick conversation.
Right. So just so everybody knows, typically whenever you're doing house sitting, it means you don't pay any rent, but you might be responsible for things like feeding 5 dogs and 6 cats, or paying the gardeners, or paying a maid, or doing different things.
Or being the
so
gardener.
Or being the gardener, one of the two. So so usually people like house sitting because it's a way to experience a lot of different areas without paying rent in that area. But sometimes you get into a situation where not really where you'd like to be, but you're kind of stuck until the owners come back. So after moving into the property, what are some things that you discovered that maybe you didn't really notice in your quick visit before with just a ferry ride over, and advice that you might give people on things that they should investigate before they agree to do a house-sitting gig?
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's because Sabago is so isolated, or it's all the time, basically, or because of the quarantine. But a lot of things were either broken or have broken since we've been here. So, for example, there's no air conditioning. And the air conditioner in the bedroom, it needs Freon. But because of the quarantine, nobody can come to put the Freon in. So we've been living without that. And the woman who owns the house apparently sleeps very well in the heat. She doesn't have screens on the windows, and there's, what they say about being by the ocean, there are a lot of bugs, and I think far worse than Asia. I mean, I lived on the beach in the Philippines, and they have these little no-see-ums I'd never heard of, and they bothered me a lot when I first got here. I mean, you talked to another person house sitting, and he got me some Benadryl, which was great, but I was really suffering from that in the beginning. And then we lost power a couple of times in one day, and the big refrigerator in the kitchen shorted out, so we haven't had that. Luckily,
she
got these 5 lean-tos. She had those little refrigerators that you see in dorm rooms. She had 5 of those in the garage, so we cleared space for 2 of them in the kitchen, and we used those, and she had a smaller refrigerator. So we're able to make do. But if she hadn't had those, we'd be in trouble, particularly since you can't just run to the grocery store to get something. You have to wait a week and think about it.
Right.
Yeah. And I think you have to, what you have to think about is to, how long can you live with other people's things and just not have your own things? So we've been living out of a suitcase since January. And I have to say right now, we're pretty tired of it. We're really looking forward to renting a house and being there and, you know, getting a few of our own things. And if we don't like some of the decor, we can stash it away somewhere. That kind of thing. And I think the other thing to do is to find out the rules of the house. Like, she didn't want any people in the house. And where the dogs are allowed. So one dog sleeps with us in the bedroom at night, but the other dogs are not allowed for whatever reason. They don't seem to understand it or appreciate it. They're pretty put out. They'll sit at the window and give us a dirty look.
Yeah.
But the mother dog is special, gets to sleep in the house. The other four don't. The cats go wherever they want. So I think it's looking at, if we'd have gotten a better look at the house, the windows don't seal. So even with, if we had screens on the door, we'd still get the bugs. Now, I don't know if that's everywhere in Panama, because we had the same problem in El Valle. The windows were quite old, and even though they had screens, we still had a lot of bugs. So
yeah, at the lower elevations, I would say below 2,500 feet, you're going to have that problem. But when you get above 2,500 feet, you just don't have too many bugs. I have my windows wide open all day long during the day, and I don't have any bugs in the house. So it just depends on the elevation. Mm-hmm. But anything along the coast is going to have those no-see-ums. Like every time I go to the Pacific Ocean coast or the Caribbean side or Bocas del Toro, even though I use all kinds of natural bug repellent, I still come home looking like I have chicken pox because they just love me.
Yeah. Yeah, they love me too. They don't love my husband, but they love me. So that's something to think about.
Right. And I think some of the other things, especially with the pandemic going on is and all the flight restrictions that are going on, is I'm sure that the owner told you when they're planning to come back, but what's the plan B? What if they can't get back into Panama for some reason or they can't leave the country where they are? You don't want to have to be, you know, you've agreed to do a certain amount of time frame, but if they can't do, if you don't want to stay there any longer, what's a plan B? Of course, I can always find another house sitter for any situation at all, but it'd just be nice to have all of those things clarified with the owner before you agree to do any kind of a house sitting job.
Right. Well, that was all clarified with the beginning agreement. But, yeah, since the pandemic, the problem with getting another house sitter is getting them permission to get to Sebago. I think she used a lot of her connections and twisted a few arms to get us permission to be here. Because what we were told officially is we had to have a salvo conducto from the Ministry of Health. And when we were spent that week in Panama City waiting for her to get the permission, we got Zhu, who is a woman that you recommend as well, or maybe Mayra recommended her. Anyway, we went to the Ministry of Health with Zhu to talk to them about, can we get a salvo conducto to go to Sebago? And they were, no, you can't. You're foreigners. Uh-huh. You don't work there. You don't have a reason to go there. You know, they were pretty strict about it. Yet when we went to the ferry the following week, our name was on the list. And I had talked to the doc. The doctor had talked to me, the doctor in San Miguel, and it was a good thing because I do have a story. I think one of the cats, I don't know where, I got ringworm on my knee. And I remember telling a friend in the U.S., and she just said, oh, you just get this medicine over the counter. I said, Amy, there's no counter in Sebago. So I called him and said, I think I have ringworm, and I sent him a picture of it, and he said yes, and I was like, can I come see you? And he said, well, you can just go to Contador, because that's about a 15-minute boat ride from here. So I got, there's a Frenchman that lives, a young Frenchman that lives down the street from us, and he took me in his boat over to Contador, and I went to see the doctor there, and she gave me cream to put on it, and it was a government clinic, and I went to pay, and there was no charge at all, even though we're not, you know, we have our temporary visa, but we don't have our permanent visa, and I said, where do I pay? And you don't.
Yeah, so. Well, and even if they would have charged you, it probably would have been a dollar. So
right.
Under the circumstances, they're just taking care of people. So it's good.
Yeah.
So are you?
And the doctor in San Miguel was kind enough to call this doctor to say to see if they had the medicine available before I went. So I was very pleased with that.
Are you allowed to travel to some of the other islands in the Pearl Islands, or are you pretty much restricted to stay on the island that you're on?
No, we're restricted to Sabago.
Unless there's a medical reason, like you had to go to Contador. Yeah.
Right. So that's that made the house sitting very different than what we're expecting, because Sabago isn't as built up. Contador has, so I've been told, little shops and some restaurants, and there's a dive shop, and there's better coral for snorkeling. There's a nice beach here, but if you like coral, I mean, to me, beaches are okay, but I really like to snorkel or to dive. There's really nothing here for that.
Yeah.
So that's made it different. It hasn't been, I mean, the days passed pretty quickly, and we've enjoyed it, and it's been good to just have this downtime after. For us, 2019 was a very stressful year. Between the riots in Hong Kong and trying to close our business and trying to sell our office when the property market was plunging, you know, it was not a nice year. So this time has just given us a chance to sit back and read and regroup and think about what's next and talk about where we want to be. So we're hoping at the beginning of October we'll be heading up towards El Valle, I mean towards Boquete, to look around and find a place to plunk ourselves down for 6 months to a year.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's going to be, the weather's going to be very different whenever you get here. A lot cooler than living at the beach, but it's exquisitely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to like it. So what other advice would you have anyone that's thinking about doing house sitting, about anything that they should be careful of or not do, or what do you wish you would have done that you didn't do when it come to this house sitting?
I think I would have brought a couple of easy things, like a table runner or some photographs or just something that easily fits in a suitcase and doesn't weigh a lot and isn't going to break, to just have a little bit of your home with you. Otherwise, I think the problems that we've run into because it's a pandemic. And we can't, we can't get anybody out to fix the refrigerator. We had a problem with the water. Now, there's filters that were just so clogged up that we had no water pressure in the house. We've taken those off, and we're trying to get them replaced, but that's taking time. But all of this is caused by the pandemic. So my first advice would be, don't house it during a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Unless you know it's in an area that you know very well to begin with, or that maybe isn't quite so isolated. But, you know, an isolated island during a pandemic is just that much more isolated. But it's an experience.
Exactly.
And you have to be of the personality that you just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. You have to go with the flow. So go ahead.
I was just saying we have an absolutely gorgeous view off of our front porch, which is where we, if we aren't at the beach, we're sitting on our front porch. We really don't, the house is hot during the day, so we don't use the house at all. We sit out on the porch and we overlook the water, and we've got pelicans and vultures, which sound kind of creepy, but they're, when they fly, they're beautiful, and they circle all the time. So it's just, we can watch the fishing boats come and go, and it's just, the cloud formations are amazing. So it's beautiful, really beautiful.
And this is also whale season. Have you seen any of the humpback whales?
We did. One morning when we were getting our groceries, the ferry boat had to stop and started leaving again, and it was because there were whales, and whales have the right of way here. And a couple of times at the beach, we've seen them in the distance. We could see the water spouts from the whales, and then see them jumping. But again, because of the pandemic, usually there's whale watching tours where you can go out in a little boat and get a little bit closer to them. But those are all closed down because there's no tourists.
Right. Well, you know, under the circumstances, you've got the right attitude, because so many people, even that had already moved to Panama whenever this whole pandemic started, and they started having quarantines and gender restrictions on when you could go out. Some people just said, this is just way too much for me. I can't deal with this. And they got it on a humanitarian flight and they left. But you've got the right attitude that you just have to go with the flow. You know, there's nothing we can do to make that pandemic go away. There's nothing we can do to influence the government to change what the rules are. We just have to live with it and go with the flow and try to enjoy the beauty that's all around you here in Panama, whether it's at the beach or in the mountains or wherever, and look for the positive and everything. Like, this has been really good with all the stress that you've had to have this downtime to just do some soul searching and think about what do I want the next chapter in my life to look like.
Well, and I'm also always uppermost in my mind is we're really guests in this country. And so whatever they decide they want, like, we aren't allowed alcohol on Tobago.
What? Really?
And the police, are on the pier every Wednesday morning, and they check your bags. They check your boxes that come. So they're really now... don't tell anyone there's a stock of beer here. I'm not fond of beer, but my husband has his beer. But you know, there's no getting a bottle of wine or anything while we're here. I'm not a big drinker, so it doesn't bother me, but an occasional glass of wine would be nice.
Yeah. Is that the rule all the time on that island? Is that the rule all the time on that island, or only during the pandemic?
Only during the pandemic.
Okay. Yeah.
And they did that in Australia too.
We did have what they call a dry law for a while here, but that ended back in, I think, April or May. It ended, so we can even get a pizza and a bottle of wine delivered from a restaurant here. I shouldn't have said that, because I'm sorry. But
that's okay.
But, you know, different. That's the thing, is that different places have different things, whether there's a pandemic or there's not a pandemic. It might sound romantic. Oh, I'm going to do house sitting on an island with a house that has a patio that's overlooking the ocean. I can see the whales and everything. That sounds beautiful, but what's on that island? Nothing. And, you know, how long does it take you to get to civilization? If there's no pandemic, what is it, a 45-minute ferry ride to Panama City? 1 hour?
No, it's an hour and about an hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
And it's very expensive. So, it's very, the ferry is like $100.
What? It used to
So
be
it's not.
45. I think they're charging extra right now.
So even when we came in March, she got us a better deal. But if you're coming as a tourist, I think it was 100, because I remember thinking, gosh, we're going to spend $200 to just go look at this house. But she managed to make the reservation for us and get us a cheaper thing. But it would still be difficult if there weren't a pandemic. At least we could go into Panama City maybe for a night and come back the next day. We'd have to arrange for somebody to feed the dogs for a night. And we could go to Contador and we could explore the other islands. So that makes a difference. The pandemic's made a huge difference in the experience.
Yep, it's made a huge difference. What does Tony, your husband, think about it?
He's very easygoing. His big thing is he doesn't have oyster sauce and he wants to order it from Amazon. And I'm like, do you know how expensive it will be to get it here from Amazon? We have ordered a few things from Amazon, but in addition to what we pay to get it to Panama City, we then pay this courier service to go pick it up at mailboxes, et cetera, and put it on the ferry and pay the ferry to bring it. So it's not a cheap for a $5 bottle of oyster sauce ends up costing you 50.
Oh, too
But
much.
we're enjoying it. It's been a good time and we've both still got a little bit of work to do online, so we're not bored.
Is the internet connectivity pretty good there on the island?
Yeah, we haven't had any trouble with that. In fact, the towers are right behind the house, so that could have something to do with it. So the only time we've lost it is when we've lost electricity. And we've only lost electricity, I think, twice. One was just 3 times in a day, but for maybe 15 minutes at a time. And then we lost it for 12 hours one night from like about midnight until noon the next day. We didn't have any. And that was that we just sat on the terrace and tried not to sweat. It was a hot day and it was humid, so if you moved, you sweat, and no fans or anything. But other than that, electricity has been fine, the internet's been fine. We can talk with our kids, talk with friends.
I think I remember reading someplace that there's only like 150 people that live on that island. Have you had a chance to meet some of your neighbors?
Well, we don't have, we have, we've met a few. We do go into the town. I think it's 200, but I've also been told that a lot of the people have left the island because their work is in the tourist industry on Contadora or here, and with no tourist industry, there's nothing for them to do. I personally don't understand why you would go into Panama City if you had a home here. I'd rather be here, but that's what I think. Todd told me that a lot of them have left.
Todd is another guy that came on a Panama relocation tour, and he's doing house sitting on the same island in a different house right now. And I think Todd is, for the last 4 years, maybe 4 years, I don't think he's ever paid a penny in rent. He's just gone from one house sitting gig to another house sitting gig to another house sitting gig. And if you're flexible and you travel light, then it's easy to do. But I think for me personally, it would be fun to do if you were going to go to a country and try to decide, do I want to live here or there, and try house sitting in two or three different places to decide which one felt right. But then, like you said, you just want to unpack the suitcases and get your own things around you and start personalizing it, and you want to put your roots down and feel like home. So it's a good way to do a temporary tryout for a different area without having to pay rent in it. Although it's easy in Panama to get a short-term rent for 2 weeks or 1 month or 2 months, But sometimes those short-term rents are much more expensive. So if you can find a house-sitting opportunity, it's a good way to check out an area and keep your costs down.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we did this. It hasn't turned out to be what we expected it to be, but it's still been a good experience.
Right. Yep, absolutely. So if you don't mind, I'm going to open it up for questions from people that are thinking
sure.
about perhaps doing some house sitting themselves or living in a valley or coming into the area. Is that okay?
Okay. Sure.
Okay. My first caller is David. Hi, David. Welcome back.
Hey, how you doing, Laura? Jackie, you doing good?
Good, doing good. You have a question for Laura?
Yes, I do, Laura. Laura, did you have a lot to, there's a couple questions, actually. Was it hard, did you have a lot house sitting jobs to pick from?
No, we didn't, because it wasn't our intention to house sit. It was just, we were in Hong Kong, and Jackie posted that there was a house sitting opportunity on a remote island in the Pearl Islands, and it was during whale watching season, and it just struck me as a perfect anecdote to the year that we had been going through, and I said, me, me, me. So we had never really intended, if that hadn't come along, we wouldn't have done the house sitting.
Okay. And you said you're planning to go to Boquete. Is that because of the bugs? And when you plan to go to Boquete, are you planning to house sit there too?
No, we hope to rent a house, and I just want to be in the mountains. So we're thinking Boquete, Volcan, Cerro Punto, any of that area where it's cooler. That was my plan, and that's one of the things that drew me to Panama, was that we could have spring sweater weather year round. Now my husband has sort of thrown a wrench into that, saying he likes to be by the beach, which is odd because he does. I enjoy diving and swimming. He's a runner, so you'd think he'd want the cool weather. But and I have to admit, part of this house sitting was, okay, I'll give him 3 months at the beach, and he'll get hot and sweaty, and then he'll want to move to the mountains. But I've sort of gotten used to the heat, and I do like the view. So we're going to go give Boquete a try and see how he likes it. For at least 6 months, I think we'll try to stay there, and then we'll take and we'll take maybe weekend trips to see other places. But we'll have a day.
Right. The other
and we'll unpack.
The other great thing about Boquete is you're only about an hour to the Pacific Ocean, so or a 3 hour drive to get to the Caribbean. So you can go to the beach and if you want to, and it's not that far away.
And it won't cost you $100.
No,
just the gas to get there. It's not
right.
Like the ferry ride. Yep. Thanks, David.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay. The next caller is James. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, yes, I had a question about the El Valle compared to Boquete. I'm so bent on one or the other because I do kind of want to be closer to the beach because I want to dive a lot myself. But I'm curious about the cost of living compared one to the other. Like rent, the groceries, just being out and about in the town. How does the cost compare, the cost of living?
I really don't have enough information to tell you that. I know El Valle was considered a little bit expensive, but I haven't been, I was on the tour in Boquete. I didn't really grocery shop, so I can't answer. Maybe Jackie knows.
Yeah, I can tell you that El Valle is more expensive than it is in Boquete. The majority of the homes that are in Ovalle are actually owned by very wealthy Panamanians that have a second or a third home in Ovalle.
There is a nice, and
they're not for rent. These are huge estates with great big houses on it there. There are some good rentals there. My daughter lived in Ovalle for about, I think she had a six-month lease, but she only stayed 4 months. And she had a two-bedroom, two-bath furnished house that had a swimming pool, and she was paying $650. Now, this was several years ago. But she had problems that with the bugs in Ovalle, because Ovalle is only at about 2,000 feet, and the bugs just loved her, so she ended up actually leaving and going to Boquete. So the rental prices are just a little bit more in Ovalle than they would be in Boquete. There's many, many, many more amenities in Boquete than there is in Ovalle.
More restaurants,
more grocery stores, more hiking trails, more waterfalls. So there's more things. And like I said, in Boquete, you're about an hour to get to the beach. In Ovalle, you're about an hour to get to the beach.
Okay. Everything keeps pointing me back to Boquete. So actually, my family is already doing as much as we can to be ready to leave in October when the borders open up. We hope to be there in Boquete by the end of October.
Fantastic.
And
so,
I don't
hear. Yeah, definitely.
I don't think there's really places to dive. The beaches I saw didn't look like they were good for diving. Am I right, Jackie? You need to be on the Caribbean side.
There are some places on the Pacific side, but not right off of the beach. You're going to have to go out by the islands on the Pacific side.
So most of the time, I'll need to go to the north side, anyways.
There's more diving opportunities on the north side than there is on the south side or the Pacific side, but there is many on the Pacific side. You just have to go out by the islands instead of right by the mainland. But, you know, that going to an island is a 30-minute water taxi ride. It's not that far.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Well, hopefully I'll be there. I'm really excited. We've been waiting for over half a year, so we're beyond ready.
I know. It seems like forever, doesn't it? But hopefully
definitely
things will clear
does.
Up for
like,
soon.
Yeah, especially when like passports came in early and everything, and I'm like, yes, and then they're still like, no.
Yeah, I know.
So definitely but, awesome. Well, thank you so much. I hope to see y'all soon.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Next caller is Jean from Chicago. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Here's some advice. I lived on a sailboat in the Caribbean for 10 years, and everybody swore by Avon Skin So Soft for the no-see-ums. People had it by the taste down the island, so she might try that. And I guess, really, I also wish them well because I know Hong Kong is really a mess right now. And it's so sad what's going on with all of the virus and all that. I really feel like everybody in the world is stuck someplace because of all this, and it's just too bad. And that's really about all I've got to say, more of a statement.
Okay,
thank you,
thanks for calling in, Jean. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Next caller is area code 334. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Freeland. So are you on Saboga? Is that where you're at?
Yeah. Not to be mistaken with Taboga.
Yeah, right. No, I was born and raised down there in Panama, so we used to fish Saboga and Pacheca and Contadora and San Jose. So, you know, I'm familiar with that area right there. So you say you got a lot of bugs over there?
Oh yeah, the no-see-ums are voracious.
Yeah, they still at bat. Doing what you're doing right there, house sitting, is there when after the pandemic's over, is Saboga really a place where people go to rent? I mean, is it a big attraction?
I don't think there aren't a lot of houses to rent here. There's if you look at SebogaVacations.com, there's a place called El Romanzo, which is a B&B, and the owners of that, they're in on the island where that is, which is near the beach club that the woman we're house sitting for owns. There are like five or six houses. They're very modern. They look to be very nice, but they're very expensive, and they're owned by wealthy Panamanians who rent them out for when they're not there. So I'm not even sure you could rent them long term. And otherwise,
okay, so
I don't think it's not the place where you might go to Contadora, but I think also prices on Contadora are going to be quite high because it's sort of the playground of the wealthy. There's an airstrip there, and we were told, you know, John Wayne had a house there, and
right.
Zsa Gabor had a house there, and
yeah,
and
they all had houses.
When we
yeah.
were going to the doctor, you could see some really gorgeous homes.
Right.
But
how about Isla Del Rey? Is there anything? Yeah. Is there anything on Isla Del Rey? If you, I mean, you're out that way. Are you in contact with anybody that actually lives in the Big Island?
No, because
because of the pandemic, she's a pretty restricted to staying on that island because of the pandemic.
I got you. Yeah, I was just curious because I mean, like I said, that'd be a nice place to retire to if it was, you know, if you're able to buy property. But anyway, thanks for everything.
Thank you.
Sure.
So I just want to mention one other thing before we take maybe a couple more phone calls. For those of you that are interested in looking for a house sitting opportunity in Panama or anywhere in the world, there's a couple of ways to do that. In Panama, if you came on a Panama relocation tour or if you purchased our online Panama relocation guide, then every time that I'm contacted about a house sitting opportunity, we have a private forum, and I put that information out on the private forum. Like right now, I have one for Bocas and I have one for Vacan. Another way that you can find out about house sitting opportunities is there's a website called Trusted House Sitters. I believe there's a fee to join that, but then you get more information about house sitting opportunities. What I've heard from a couple of other people that are like full-time house sitters, that they move from one house to another, is that the house sitting opportunities have gotten less because people are less likely to travel right now. And so it's harder to find a house sitting opportunity. I think once we get a little bit further into next year and the pandemic has settled down a little bit, then people will be more likely to travel and they'll need a house sitter. So why would you need a house sitter? The lady that owns the house that Laura is in is French. She's got 5 dogs and 6 cats. She can't just lock up her house and go. She needs somebody to stay in the house and take care of all of her animals. So very often when you're doing house sitting, it's going to involve doing some pet sitting for them also. Sometimes people have a house and it's just a really, really remote house, and they still have a gardener that comes or a maid that comes or packages that come, and they just need they need the house to look like it's lived in, even though they're going to be gone. So they'll hire, and you don't get paid anything to do house sitting, but you don't have to pay anything to do house sitting. So they will get someone to stay at their house, and then you take care of all the things while they're gone. Sometimes a house sitting job is just for a month. Or 3 weeks while someone goes to a retreat or something. I know my next door neighbor, they did house sitting for Lynn Bishop, who we did a video on while she went to cacao retreat. She was gone for 3 weeks, so they stayed at her house and took care of the dogs and the cats and everything else for 3 weeks. But sometimes it's a situation where people are going to have to be gone for an extended period of time and they don't know when they're going to be back. So you need to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into. A good example is just last month I did another house sitting opportunity for a house that's about halfway between David and Boquete, and it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house on 4 acres with a swimming pool and a greens
and a river at the back of the property. And the couple is the owners are in South Africa. They don't know when they can come back. They have a business to sell, a house to sell. You know, they got to get their paperwork together for getting a visa, and they're just not sure when they're going to come back. So there's not a certain date on when that house sitting gig is going to be over. It might be 6 months. It might be a year. And so you need to agree to do a house sitting gig that's going to fit what you're looking for. If you want to go into house sitting opportunity and you just want to be there for a month or two, you need to look for opportunities that it's only going to be for a month or two. If you don't mind staying in a house for 6 months or a year, then you could do that. But you need to also have a conversation with the owner and say, well, what if something comes up in my life and I need to leave in the middle of this 6 months? What's the plan B? So for many people, the plan B is call Jackie, because Jackie can always find someone else to go right in and take over that house sitting opportunity. But it's still a good idea to have that conversation with the owner of what if you can't come back on October 15th? What if I have to leave definitely on October 15th and you're not back here? What's the plan B? So I would advise anytime you get into a house sitting opportunity, you always have that conversation with the owner. Is there anything you want to add to that on conversations with the owner and a plan B, or conversations about what if they can't come back or what if you have to leave, Laura?
I think you've covered it pretty well. I mean, in our case, again, because Saboga is, travel to Saboga is so restricted, I don't know what we would do if one of us had to. I think if one of us had to leave, it would have to be the one of us and the other one would stay here. I don't know, because getting somebody out here would take time. I find it incredible personally that she left us her house and her dogs without really knowing anything about us and just meeting us for a couple of hours. We're absolutely in love with the dogs. My husband is plotting to dog nap the dogs. He loves, and I'm like, finding a rental with five big dogs, because they're German Shepherds. German Shepherd mix. They've got a lot of fur. Would be next to impossible. So, the whole house sitting thing to me is a very interesting concept that I'd never heard of or never really thought much about until this came up. But another way to find them, and if you're interested in moving to a town, I would say they all have Facebook groups. We were on the El Valle, I think it's called El Valle Community Chat Room, and you can join even if you don't live there usually, and you can just kind of watch what people talk about and get a little bit of a feel for the place. We went hiking with a guy that we met while we were there. When it finally opened up, I just went on to the Facebook group and said, can anyone recommend a good hike now that we can go out? And we met the man who owns the butterfly farm there, and he took us hiking a couple times and we had dinner, and it's a good way, to meet people. And people are very friendly.
Yeah, very friendly here. Yeah, well, Laura, thank you so much for sharing your experience of coming to Panama and staying in Avaye for a little while and your grand adventure there on the islands. I hope that I hope everything continues to work out. And I know I could go on Monday. I could go to the grocery store and I could get six bottles of oyster sauce, and I just need to contact Zoo maybe and see if I can figure out a way to get it to you. I could send it Uno Express and she could pick it up and see if I can't get you some oyster sauce. And at least that would make your experience on the island be a little bit better, right?
It would make my husband very happy.
Okay. Well, let me see what I can. Let me see what I can do to get some to you, okay?
Oh, that would be great. Thank you so much.
And thank you again for joining me.
To keep, to see pictures.
Go ahead.
They can look at my Instagram account is open, and it's just Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, underscore Lemley, L-E-M-M-L-I-E. And I have pictures of both of El Valle and Saboga on there if they want to just take a look.
Thanks so much for sharing that with us. Thanks again, Laura, and thank you for everybody that was on the call today. Yep. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.